Welcome to Beyond the Frontline podcast, where your hosts, U.S. Air Force veterans, Donna Hoffmeyer and Jay Johnson, will help you transition from the frontline to the home front. Listen every other Wednesday, as they will bring great conversations, resources, tips, and feel-good stories that will resonate and relate. Now, here's your hosts, Donna Hoffmeyer and Jay Johnson.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Beyond the Frontline. This week, you are going to have only one host. That would be me, Donna. Jay is out with COVID, so we're wishing him a speedy, speedy recovery and to get back here because I don't have anybody to pick on. So, Jay, get better. Come on back. You're missed. This week, we are bringing on Clint Blunden, and Clint actually is the owner of a franchise called Payroll Vault. A little background on him. I know Clint, again, this is somebody we know from the chamber, and he is a great guy. I know him and his wife, Lisa. Clint is actually an Army veteran. He spent nine years on active duty, and a formal sales leader in corporate America, 25 years in corporate America. Clint now works hard for the small business owners of Comal County with a high sought after payroll and workforce management solutions through his franchise Payroll Vault. Clint Blunden, welcome.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Are you going to pick on me this morning too?
I will not pick on you as much as I pick on Jay. I do like to tease. Oh, your wife keeps you in line.
Yeah, she does.
I know her, and she's pretty feisty.
She's a fifth grade science teacher. There's, you know, she brings out the fifth grade science teacher. Boy, she know I'm in trouble.
And let me tell you, I just had one that went through fifth grade. And fifth grade, especially on the girl side, it's many gangstas, let me assure you, because I was so happy when fifth grade got done. And now we're entering sixth grade, and I don't even know what to prepare for. So all my respect to Lisa and every other fifth grade teacher
absolutely
that survives, because that is a tough grade, let me tell you.
It's a tough gig. It is.
So let's do a little background on you. You were in the Army for 9 years. So this is what I want to focus on, because we're talking about startups and we're talking about franchises specifically in this podcast. And you do have a franchise, Payroll Vault, but I wanted you to talk to the audience about how you went from the military and how you got out, what you were thinking going into corporate America, and then what led you on to what you're doing now. Just a summary of that.
Sure. So I always had what I would consider an entrepreneurial streak. I wanted to own my own business. Of course, in the military, we kind of get a flavor of that, right? We were thrown into situations where we may have an SOP and a regulation, but we got to kind of make everything else up. We're entrepreneurs in our own little space. And I really enjoyed that. But I knew that I didn't have the skill set right away, and we didn't have the kind of tools that we have available today with recruiters and the internet back then to evaluate, you know, businesses like franchise, for example. And I decided to go into corporate America and go into sales. I thought that was the leading and bleeding edge of how companies do business. And I think to this day, it's probably still true.
Let me ask you this. What were you doing in the military when you were in the Army?
Yeah, so I worked with the Hawk and Patriot Missile Systems. It's a combat arms branch, air defense artillery. And typically in that branch, you know, you have the, you know, the positions, platoon leader, executive officer, battery commander, staff officer. So I did all those things.
So for our audience that's not military, those are the missiles that lock onto anything coming in and blows them up in the air before they can hit us. So my husband, when he deployed, he said that was his frequently his good night music was those going off to basically protect the base. Right. So they lock in, they blow up the missiles before they can hit the base. So that's
a highly
respected field for all of us that are out there deployed.
Yeah, it's an interesting branch. Everybody probably knows the Patriot missile system from Desert Storm fame. It's still around today. And I worked with the earlier vintage weapon system called Hawk, which was the one that started in the 60s.
Wow. Impressive. Impressive. So you did that for 9 years.
Did it for 9 years. Yep.
And then you got out and decided, I kind of have an entrepreneur spirit, but it's really not quite there. So I'm going to go into corporate America, into sales. And what were you doing in sales?
So in corporate America, I primarily did technical sales, and my client base was the large carriers like AT&T and Verizon. Although they've morphed into AT&T and Verizon today, they were separate companies, you know, 25 years ago. But technical sales, working through a technical staff and a process, a decision-making committee to get products approved, long sales cycles, long negotiations, but the payoffs typically were pretty good if you were able to weather that storm and come out the other side successful.
That sounds stressful.
It can be.
Like, not fun. So you did that for 25 years. That mm-hmm. pretty much had an entire career in it.
What's interesting is through that period of time, I still, you know, managed to do some entrepreneurial things. I invested in real estate. I owned a vending company. I did some photography. So again, to feed that need to be an entrepreneur, I dipped my toe in the water, so to speak, and tried various things. Of course, we all know what happened to the real estate market in the 2000s.
Right.
That prompted my exit from real estate for the time being. And vending was fun, but you know, eventually I got tired of picking up quarters. Although it's tactile and it's fun to get a bunch of quarters, the return wasn't there for me, but I ended up selling that business.
Gotcha. So then kind of interesting to hear that. So you had the 9-to-5-er, but you were still playing on the side, kind of learning these lessons, really the entrepreneurial lessons of starting a business. Now, just out of curiosity, because really the focus is franchise, but I am just curious, were you funding these yourself? Were you funding these side businesses yourself to get them started, or were you?
Yeah, I mean, so some of it was research, some of it was just talking to friends, mm-hmm. to family. You know, real estate became an interest of mine when I started watching the market in the early 2000s and decided I wanted to jump in with both feet. Bought some investment properties, did some spec homes and reselling of spec homes and so forth. So it was a combination, a little less internet back then, right? It was more, you know, leveraging my network and talking to people and gauging whether it was going to be a good business.
And did you end up selling all those businesses, or did you?
I just shut down the real estate investment business in 2008 when I sold my last property. So
okay.
It was really a function of, you know, having inventory and offloading it. And luckily, you know, I got out of the business right at the right time.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause that's where the big tank happened. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember that because we moved down here in 2010 and our house where we were stationed at before in Little Rock tanked. So we rented it, then moved down here, and our loss up there, I mean, sort of loss, we didn't really lose at that point because we were renting it, but it was a gain when we came down here, because in 12 years, we have over 100% equity in our house, you know? So yeah, definitely was the right time. So after you, well, what made you decide corporate was done? I mean, you're doing these side businesses and then you're still doing corporate America. When did the switch and why did the switch happen?
I don't know that the switch ever really fully got thrown. You know, I still have other revenue streams, I believe in my mid 50s now. I like to have a diversified portfolio in terms of what revenue is coming in. But the switch really started to get thrown for me with franchising and probably around the 2015, 2016 timeframe. Mm. And I've always been interested in franchises primarily because I knew that I had some weaknesses with respect to owning a business. I didn't have a finance and accounting background, for example. And the one thing I loved about franchising is you're buying into a system. And if you can follow a system and you're willing to do that, the success rates are substantially higher than those who just start a business. And I think the stats are something in the range of within the first 3 to 5 years, small businesses fail, like 80% of them. So franchises have a much higher chance of success because of that system. So I started the process of looking, and in 2018, I probably took my first really hard look at it, hired a consultant or a recruiter, if you will, and went through that process. But I didn't buy. That's the interesting thing. At that time, I did not.
You didn't buy at that time. Yeah. You were just kind of looking around.
No, I was serious. I mean, it was more of a, not so much a looky-loo situation, but I just didn't find exactly what it was I was looking for. Nothing really piqued my interest. And, you know, so that was shelved, I guess, for a period of time. And then it came back up again in early 2021.
So, well, you know, it's interesting you said that you were looking around. And I just want to point this out to the audience, because when we interviewed Gary Turnow, who's actually a franchise recruiter, I was impressed to know that there's no money up front to go through the recruiting process. It's only when you're getting ready to sign. And he doesn't get, you don't pay him. You don't pay the recruiter.
Yeah, the franchise does.
Yeah, the companies pay the recruiter. So I was like, wow, what a, like, to me, that's what a load off your chest, right? You can literally go freely explore like you did. Nothing was piquing your interest in his portfolio. It didn't have what you really wanted. So you're like, okay, I'm going to shelve that for a minute. So that's just a nice, to me, that's a nice way for people that are kind of curious. They can go explore. And really no harm, no foul, right? You're not going to lose any money in it. You're going to learn, and then you can either sit back or move forward, whichever is striking you appropriately.
Yeah, a lot of respect for the franchise recruiters out there. They know their business well. They know the industry well. And especially for veterans, I think it's really important that if you're considering a franchise, bring on a recruiter, go through that process, because it's more than just about learning what opportunities are out there. It's learning about yourself too through the process, and how you're wired, and you know what may be a good opportunity for you and what may not.
Did you have, when you were going to the recruiter, did you have something in mind, and then you realize as you went through the process with the recruiter that wasn't it? Or like, what was that first process with you?
That's a great question. Actually, I'm a little unconventional in some of my approaches. My wife will tell you that. I'm a little different. I started the research myself the second time around in 2021. And I went to a website called Franchise Business Review. And you can just Google it. I'm not sure of the exact web domain. But the nice thing about Franchise Business Review is you can get reports directly from franchisees and how they feel about their opportunity from a marketing, sales, corporate perspective, financial opportunity, and they give you the skinny. They're very, very honest. Wow. So I started going through that, and I just started picking out some companies that sort of piqued my interest, and Payroll Vault was one of those. And
let me back you up
that process.
Yep. Let me back you up a little bit. The first time you did it, like when you went to a recruiter, did you have anything in mind that time?
I did
not. Or were you just kind of, let's just see?
Yeah, I was serious, but I was testing the waters too, and learning a little bit about what I really wanted, what sounded good to me. Did I want a big box brand? Did I want a storefront? Did I want to invest a lot of money in, you know, a building and leasing a facility? There's just a lot that goes into it. And so that, I think, narrowed down ultimately the list that I came up with, the criteria that I came up with the second time around.
What did you find about yourself that surprised you or was like, I didn't know that? Like, what did you learn that first go around?
The first go around, I learned that some of the things, some of the opportunities I thought would be of interest to me, once I really started digging into them, I wasn't as interested. And I'll give you one example.
Yeah.
One of them was a wholesale clothing opportunity where you've seen the bins out in front of, you know, businesses where people drop off used clothing.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, that's an actual industry, and the used clothing market is pretty big. So you sell by the pound to retail outlets and so you get paid a fee for doing that. And I thought that, you know, that's kind of interesting, but that was one of the things that that turned me off on vending is the fact that you've got a location and sometimes the owner just decides on a whim that he doesn't want your vending machine there anymore. And then your vending machine is offline and not producing income. And it was the same concept with this clothing opportunity. I didn't like that I could be taken offline pretty quickly on a whim.
Oh,
and have that impact my bottom line.
So you did all this and you kind of was like, okay, I'm going to shelf it right now. It's not, nothing's happening. The second time around, you go through this business review, franchise business review, and this is where you started picking things out. What were the things that were catching your attention that were like, yep, I'll look at this one or that one? And then from there, what did you do with that, the ones that you picked?
Yeah, well, interestingly enough, none of the business B2C or business to consumer opportunities were really interesting to me. Those typically require much larger investments in facilities. And, you know, one of the criticisms, if you will, and again, this is just my opinion, is that you're kind of buying a job, right? You're buying, you know, a facility and employees and this opportunity. And for me, that was a little too intensive up front, and it was a little too risky too. I didn't like the risk. I live out in Spring Branch, as you know, and businesses come and go out here. And I've seen a lot in the B2C space. I've seen a lot of turnover. So I was a little leery of that. You know, conversely with B2B or business to business, it takes a little longer to build a business when your client base is other businesses. It takes a while for them to trust you and know, like, and trust you and do business with you. But I felt like if I could invest time and build a business right, that it could create a recurring revenue stream for me. So that's really what, yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No.
For the audience, just so you know, if you're new to this, business to consumer would be something like your fast food restaurants, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, those would be a business to consumer, or automotive, like those automotive shops that you see, the stores. Those would be business to consumer. Whereas sure. Business to business would be that your business is providing a service to these business to consumer entities, right?
Yes,
so you're
correct.
Providing the business a service. You are not providing the buyer of their business, the consumers of the business.
Yeah, so, my client is the small business.
Right, is the small business, exactly. So I just want that clarified for the audience
sure.
that they understand.
That's a good clarification. Yep.
Yeah. So, okay. So you went through, yeah, picking them out, and you have however many in front of you. And what are you doing with this? You're like, okay, I reviewed them. This is what's interesting me. What do you do with that next?
Yeah. For me, as I was going through this process, I mentioned the list earlier. So I created a list of, I don't know, 25 criteria. And I plugged in opportunities into this criteria, and you know, that each one of them had, you know, different weights. What was more important to me? What was a little less important to me at the bottom of the list?
You're that methodical kind of person. I would be like dartboard. Here we
well,
go.
my kids will tell you that. Every time we went on vacation, I had a spreadsheet.
Oh, you're that guy.
God. I'm that guy. Color coded too.
You have a flag that you like the
like
tours
a guide
over
on
here.
Almost, yeah.
I'm gonna have to talk to your kids about this now, because
yeah, oh, they'll tell you.
That is awesome. I'm sure Lisa's just like, okay.
Yeah, she's the opposite. She does not have a spreadsheet. She goes more on feel and, you know, emotion. I'm a little bit more logical, and I want to see the numbers and you know, want to have some time to think through this. But this list, you know, started growing. And the interesting thing about the list is that the bigger the list gets, the more narrow your opportunities become. And
oh, for criteria, right?
Yeah. The criteria starts to narrow down the potential opportunities out there for you. And I knew that going in, but I wanted to make the right decision because while franchises are great, it's a commitment. Most of them are 5 to 10 years. And I wanted to make sure that if I was going to make that kind of commitment, that I was 100% sure it was the right opportunity for me.
When you say the commitment is 5 to 10 years, that would be like the life that you would have it before you'd sell it. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, it's a minimum commitment of that term.
Because you have to sign a contract for
yeah.
it.
Oh yeah. It's a long contract.
Right. Gotcha. There's See, something else it. To think about, right? You're not yes. signing like, hey, let's try it out. You know, it's
yeah, there's no dipping your toe in the water with a franchise. You're spending money up front and you've got a commitment for a period of time. They all differ.
Right.
The ones that I've seen are typically in the 5 to 10 year range. Payroll Vault is a 5 year commitment, and then we mutually decide at the end of that 5 year term if we want to go forward.
And if you didn't, what would happen?
I would at that time either sell the book back to Payroll Vault or come up with a buyer that we both mutually agreed to sell to.
Interesting. So there's always support there. I mean, it sounds like there's always that.
Oh yeah.
You know, collaboration. So okay, so you had your. I'm giggling at you right now because you actually I'm laughing because this is me and my husband. So like my husband is like, he likes to hike. And yeah. I just was talking to him about this yesterday because he is planning a 35-day hike.
Nice.
Out there. Right. He wanted to do Appalachian, but he was actually kind to me because like leaving me with the kids for 6 months is not fair. So anyway, I'm laughing because he has a whole spreadsheet and it has the weight of everything in his entire pack. And he has a goal of what he wants his thing to weigh. And I just started laughing. I'm like, you know that I would die on a hike, right? Because I would grab my water bottle. I might grab a Camelback, you know, and have one of those and a Snickers bar and be like, let's go. And he was like, yep, you wouldn't make it. I'm like, nope. And that's why we're not hiking together. So
awesome.
I appreciate it. I am not it, but I do appreciate it because he probably saves me a lot of pain behind the scenes that I don't even really know about. So
it sounds like a you know, teamwork, great team. You both bring something to the table.
That's right.
Sounds a lot like myself and Lisa. Yep.
Exactly. So, all right. So you plug the criterion and then how many fit the criteria? That's what I'm curious about. I mean, if the list was long, that means very few were fitting it.
Yeah, it came down to two. Payroll Vault was one, and then there was another logistic business that fit the criteria as well.
And then how did you decide that? Because see, again, I would be flip a coin, let's go. What was your method then?
It really came down to the opportunity that I thought had the best long-term potential. I really evaluated the market. I spoke to the CEO of Payroll Vault, and they made themselves available to me at all times. And I really liked the culture there too, and the 100% transparency on you know what I was up against. But I really liked the opportunity with payroll and small business because I feel like and felt like at the time that the small business community is underserved with the larger box brands. You know, and it's just kind of the nature of the beast with big corporations. They tend to serve their corporate clients and everybody else gets what's left over. And I saw that from a customer service perspective. I could create an opportunity for myself in the space. So that's ultimately what led me to the Payroll Vault opportunity. Now, the challenge for me was I had no background in finance and accounting at all. In fact, I barely remember taking accounting in high school. So if that tells you anything, and you know, the great news is that, you know, the franchise provided a lot of training, both from an industry perspective, as well as the software that they utilize to run payroll.
But I will say this is actually a perfect point to what we have been talking about through entrepreneurship and transitioning out of the military. Is that your soft skills are the things that translate into the next thing you want to do. So you're working air defense missiles, you know, the Hawk and all that, which takes some definite analysis, meticulousness. You better be on target because there's going to be a lot of people that's going to pay some price if those missiles are not blowing up what's coming in, right? So you're very analytical. And you're meticulous. I mean, you're on vacation with a spreadsheet. I mean, I say that half humorously, but half seriously, because now what do you pick? You pick something that takes analysis, meticulousness. You have the skill. You just needed to put the knowledge next to it. That was it. If that would have been me, I can assure you, you don't want to hire me for payroll vault. Positive of that.
You'd be surprised. I mean, it's
I would be surprised because I am it's not that I don't have attention to detail, because I do surprise people that I do have an attention to detail, but I am really poor when something is very, very repetitive. Like I get bored, and then that's when my attention starts going downhill. So spreadsheets and numbers and things like that, I probably could start, and then eventually I probably wouldn't be so awesome at it, kind of thing. But it's just knowing yourself, right?
Sure. But let me just interject here with something.
Yeah.
Payroll on the surface looks to be very repetitive. You know, you run a payroll, it's salary, hourly employees. It's actually not repetitive at all. Every small business brings a unique challenge to the table. They all want different things. They all have different kinds of employees. They have hourly employees. They have 1099 contractors. They want accruals. They don't want accruals. They have benefits. So there's a lot of different aspects to payroll that really challenge my problem solving skills. You know, they'll bring me, you know, hey, I want to do this. And it's usually, you know, right before I'm getting ready to run payroll, and they want me to start up, you know, a PTO accrual. Well, that has rules that have to be set up. It's not just, you know, you accrue 2 hours of, you know, PTO every pay period. It could be something different. You know, your PTO may expire at the end of the year. That's got to be set up in the system, you know, with a set of rules. So it's pretty challenging. And then, you know, just on the sales side of it, it can be challenging too, just talking through what the requirements are. So it really presses those buttons for me as well.
So that brings up another interesting thing, marketing. Mm-hmm. Because for the veteran, most of us, you say that and we are like, ugh, you know, we're backing away, and all we can think of is like that dude that y'all knew in the military that was like holding all his awards that he probably wrote for himself anyway, right? You know, yeah, operational and staff side are two different worlds, right?
Right.
And so,
absolutely.
Right. So we have this very poor image of marketing and networking. And how for you, do you find it a challenge? And how do you market Payroll Vault?
Yeah, it is, for me, it's been the most challenging, not just the marketing aspect of it, but the fact that as an owner operator, which I am at present, I'm the jack of all trades, master of none, right?
Right.
So marketing, sales, operations, finance, and I got to manage my own business, everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I recognized early on that I needed to outsource some of this. So instead of working in my business on everything, I had to do a little bit of leveraging. The first thing that I did is there's a program within Payroll Vault where you could outsource some of your marketing to the marketing department, where they manage your social media accounts. They do email campaigns for you. They manage your website. So those types of things are available for a fee, of course. Franchises are there to make money as well.
And do you pay them like a monthly fee type thing, or does
it's like that. Yeah. It's like a monthly fee to do, you know, all in to manage that for me. So that's one aspect. I still have to go in. I got to check everything and, you know, verify the kinds of campaigns that I want to do. So the marketing piece of it is, you know, I would say that I'm being assisted by Payroll Vault Corporate with that. But I still have, you know, control of it. And, you know, I'm picking the target markets that I want to go after. And that's something really important as a small business, that you don't get caught up in branding, because branding is kind of it's something that Pepsi and Coke do, and they can do that because they've got millions of dollars.
Right.
As a small business, it's really important that you focus and you laser in on, you know, areas that you want to target for your business.
Yeah. What makes you different? What makes you
absolutely
specific? And so,
what client base is important to you right now? And, you know, who do you want to market to?
We actually interviewed somebody else that did their own startup, right? They have their own business. And one thing that caught my attention about what you said is she noticed the same thing in the market. In her business, the marketing was to big corporate, and there was nobody marketing down to the smaller businesses. She does a scratch off business where, you know, how you do the lottery tickets and you do scratch offs. Well, she does that on a non-lottery type of thing, so people can use it for different types of rewards or entertainments or whatever. And she's like, yeah, she goes, so when you get those flyers from the dealerships or the big companies, the 30% off, and you scratch it and you find out what it is, that market's already saturated. They got all those people. There was nobody in the small business that had that opportunity because they would have to buy massive volume and like they couldn't do it, right? So she noticed the same thing you noticed. And obviously payroll vault noticed, right? Because they themselves handle that smaller business and you're capturing a whole business from small business, you know?
Yeah, so absolutely.
Yeah, it's interesting. And Go ahead. Well, what I was going to say was that another thing I want to point out to the audience and something for you guys to think about if you're thinking about franchising is that if marketing is not something you're thrilled with, and I'm going to tell you 90% of the people are not thrilled with marketing, but if you feel like you're going to be overwhelmed trying to market and do everything, franchising might be a good option because their corporate headquarters will collaborate with you and they will help you market. And so he outsourced back to his headquarters and said, 100%. Hey, yep. Can you do some marketing? And they're already set up. They probably got plug and play everything and they just send it out to probably his client list or whatever he's building. And they target that right there. And they do probably a local area, you know, target or wherever it is he wants it to be. So just something to keep in mind is that, you know, there's a bonus when you have the franchise, right? You can lean back into the headquarters. That's what they're there for. So, and they're teaching all the time.
Yeah, the headquarters is very important. The staffs that they have, you should interview them, talk through some of these areas, like you mentioned, marketing. How do you market? How do the franchisees market? And talk to the franchisees as well, which typically comes later on in the process as you go through the validation. Mm-hmm. You'll get to talk to the franchisees, but I put them on the spot. I asked them very, very specific questions because I wanted the information. The other thing I did want to touch on is you mentioned sales. You know, marketing and sales are different, right? Mm-hmm. And how you go to market, how you leverage networking organizations. And there are two that I use extensively. One of those is the one we're both involved in, which is the chamber. Mm-hmm. I find the chamber to be a great return on investment. It's a great way to meet other people and have them talk about your business to other business owners or other potential customers. If you invest in a chamber, you're going to get a return on that investment.
Yes.
The other organization that I'm involved in is called BNI, Business mm-hmm. Network International. That's a hard contact type of networking organization where there's one of every classification. There's one accountant, there's one commercial insurance guy, one real estate person. So everybody has a classification. That's a protected classification in that chapter. And you meet weekly and everybody's looking out for one another and providing warm referrals. That's a little different than a lead, right? It's somebody that you right. have spoken with and you bring to the table and that there's a higher chance that you're going to close that business. So I saw that as an opportunity for me to have, let's say we have 25 people or 30 people in our chapter. That's 25 or 30 people that are looking for business opportunities for me. So I can leverage myself and my sales efforts through other people's efforts.
And there's a trust there too. That's what I noticed. Like, I mean, we said we belong to the same chamber and I know everybody there. And if I needed something, like, you know, one of the things I was thinking about is like, I need some help on legal something or other. And one of the guys is there that is a liaison for like a ton of lawyers, you know, and him and I have talked a couple times. Am I there yet? No. But he stays in the back of my mind because anybody that's in the chamber or in these networking entities would only do themselves a disservice if they screwed somebody over. I mean,
oh yeah,
that would be the pretty much a big loss of referrals right there if they went and did anything less than the best customer service, because we have a trust. You're here, I'm going to refer people to you. We have a commonality here. This is what we believe in, and we have a trust. And so,
and it takes a while too. I mean, yes, you know, a lot of folks have this expectation, well, I'm going to join a hard contact organization or a chamber, and all of a sudden the leads are going to become overwhelming. No,
nope.
People only do business with those whom they know, like, and trust.
Yes.
And it takes a while. They need to see you out there. They need to, you know, see you participating. They need to see you giving, right?
Yes.
Giving of your time and maybe providing them some leads or doing business with them directly. So it's a relationship that you're building with the people in those organizations over time. And then, you know, again, not to be repetitive, but the more work you put into it, the more you're going to get out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually was invited to another networking group, and I went to it and checked it out. And I talked with the person that was running it. She called me afterwards and we chatted a little, and she made an interesting comment. She did wealth management. That was her job. And she says, I actually spend more time networking people so I have a broad knowledge for my clients. And she goes, I spend more time doing that than I actually do on my job some weeks, like the actual job. Because she's like, I am trying to see all the different things that impact my clients that I could have some knowledge with, and then I can refer them over to for. And so she's building the trust relationships ahead of time.
Yeah.
And then saying, hey, I trust this person, I'm going to refer you. And boom, there's another trust client relationship, you know. So,
and there's a much higher probability that they're going to do business together.
Yes.
When that type of, you know, interaction happens and pre-qualification happens as well.
Yes, yes. Hey, this just popped in my head. It's kind of random. Does payroll have like an annual conference or anything like that where they bring all the franchisees together and you talk payroll vault?
2 weeks ago, we had our annual conference in just south of Denver in Aurora, Colorado. Littleton area, and at the Inverness facility there. It was awesome. We have those every August. We also have an owners exchange, which is just for owners, every February. So every 6 months,
you're having something.
We're getting together and collaborating. The great thing about this franchise for me is that the franchise ownership, we're very collaborative. There's a competitive nature to any franchise, I think,
mm-hmm.
but the owners within Payroll Vault have been, especially this, you know, the owners that are really successful have been exceptionally helpful to me, just as much as the corporate folks. The owners have had a great impact on my business so far, mentoring me along the way, answering questions, and you know, helping me.
That's a very good point that it's not, you know, Jay mentioned this one time about, you know, healthy competition. And he's like, why do we have to compete? Why can't we just help each other out? There's abundance, right? There's enough
right.
for everybody, and everybody can get a part of it. Years ago, this is a little rabbit hole, but I was, my background is I have a master's in sports science, and I was actually working at a gym while I was working on my degree, and I was just a personal trainer, and essentially the director there asked me if I would take over the scheduling of all the trainers at the gym. And I said, sure, I'll do it. So we had people that did group exercise. We had people that did personal training, like lifting weights, right? We had about 5 trainers that just did weightlifting and whatnot. None of us were in competition. Because I had one guy that was very experienced in powerlifting. I had a lady that was more experienced working with older women and using the machines. I had somebody that did group exercise, and she work the machines as a personal trainer. I personally did free weights. Like, we all had our own area. And so when people would come to us, they would talk with us. And then if we didn't think they were a fit, we would refer them over to someone else. We were all allowed to make whatever price we wanted to. We all made the same price because we weren't trying to cut each other down. And I know it's not to do with franchise specifically, but it's just the spirit of competition, right? We shouldn't really be trying to like get one over on anybody. We should be celebrating everybody's victories and wins and growth, you know? And that's, I don't know. That's just my thought on it.
It's two different frames of reference, right? It's having an abundance mentality or having a scarcity mindset.
Yes.
And
yes.
When you have an abundance, you know, you think of things and markets and opportunities as abundant, you take your eye off, you know, competition. And there's always competition, but you know, I think the abundance mentality is much stronger, and I think it's proven out over time as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you focus on, put your head down, focus on you and not what everybody else is doing all the time.
Yeah.
Trending is one thing, but trying to one up is different. And you just focus on you and you're going to get the customers. I mean, you're going to have those loyal customers. Hey, one other question. I wanted to back it up a little. And you don't have to give specific numbers or anything, but was it a hefty investment to start? Did you feel like it was the cost amount? Was it like, I know like some franchises are like 10,000 and some are 100,000, you know?
And when you look at the investment, you're really looking at, you know, what is the startup fee for the franchise, but you have to look at what other costs are involved in startup as well. Do you need a facility? Are you going to need to hire employees? Is there training involved? So there's a lot of startup costs, but I can tell you the Payroll Vault franchise fee was $40,000.
Okay.
Now, the great thing about Payroll Vault is they respect and honor veterans. They offer probably the most robust discount that I've seen in the industry, which is 25%.
Wow.
So doing the math on that, I'm not a mathematician, but that's $10,000.
Right.
That's not an insignificant amount of money. So I was impressed by that. You know, there were some other franchises out there that offered some discounts, but nothing like Payroll Vault offered.
Yeah, Gary Chernow made that comment to me. He said that veterans, they usually will give some level of discount for the veterans. And
yeah,
then
just about all of them offer a discount at some level. Yeah.
What was the time frame for your return on investment? Roughly.
Well, you mean in terms of break even?
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be different for every franchisee. It really comes down to a numbers game. So with payroll, it's, you know, they look at number of clients and number of employees per client that you have as a customer. So
right.
That could be in the 17 to 20 range before you're cash flow neutral, if you will. That can take typically it takes about 12 to 18 months to get there.
That's
so there's
good.
There's a bit of a time, and that, you know, a lot of that depends on how quickly you're able to come on board with training and learning the software. For me, I came on, again, I do things unconventionally. That's just the nature of my life. I came on board, and within 3 months, the company decided to migrate to a different software platform, which is great because the new software platform is awesome. But it put me behind a little bit because, you know, I wanted to bring on my clients with this new platform. So, yeah, that 12 to 18 month time frame is probably about right for most people. And I don't want to speak for the franchise. They may have some updated numbers now, but that seems to be, you know, right in that sweet spot.
No, but you bring up a good point because I talked to somebody else that owns a franchise, and he was told, I think his was like 3 years for his. And he told me, he's like, it was, you know, it was a struggle, you know, sometimes. And they would say, just be consistent. Continue your consistency, you're going to grow. And he said, and he finally started to see it right around the 3-year mark where he could start breathing, so to speak, a little easier. Yeah, I mean, it's not for the faint, right? This is not for the faint of heart. I mean, it's not like individual startup where, I mean, that's what I do. And I'm like, Lord have mercy. You know, when I see something green come in, I just want to celebrate, you know.
Yeah.
The franchise has the backing of corporate. And if they see that you're getting maybe off track or whatnot, there's resources there for you to help you get back on track, right? To help you grow or to give advice, or there's other franchisees in the business, you know, there is always somebody there for you.
And that's
So,
essentially what you're buying, right? With a franchise, you're buying the system. And to, you know, if you want to be an entrepreneur and start your own business, then do that. But if you want to buy a franchise, my recommendation is buy into the system. You do your due diligence, but once you make that decision, buy into it. Don't buy a franchise and then decide you're going to do it, you know, 180 out, because you're probably going to fail. If that's the case, that's just the reality of it.
Agreed.
So you have to be willing to follow that system. Sometimes it may not make sense to you. Sometimes you may think you've got a better idea. And when I have situations where I think I've got a different idea that might work better, I'll go back to the corporate folks and say, "Hey, what do you think of this? How about this idea? Does this make sense?" And you know, sometimes they'll say, "Yeah, we've tried that. It doesn't work." Or, "Yeah, let's give that a shot. I think it could work." So it's a collaborative effort in that regard.
How much flexibility do you have in your franchise? So I know, and I know this because Lisa was telling me, and then you and I talked, but you just did another system upgrade and you and you went through that and felt like you were going back to college because it was a
Yeah,
lot to learn, right?
absolutely.
So there's some stuff in the franchise that when they do a system upgrade, you're doing a system upgrade. I mean, there's no option, right? That's all the franchises are doing. That's the consistency. But what about your own personality on it? You know what I mean? Like your own flavor. Do you know what I'm saying? Like
Yeah, I
how?
do. Well, first of all, with a system upgrade, as you called it, or a software update, the great thing that Payroll Vault did is we discussed this as the ownership of the franchise. We said, "Does it make sense for us to do this right now? We know what it's going to take to do this. Do we want to do it?" And every owner that was in the room had an opportunity to weigh in and be heard. Not all franchises do that. Sometimes they just take a top-down approach and they implement something and you're going to like it, right?
You're like,
It's
why is my computer updating?
right. So, you know, kudos to Payroll Vault for doing that. But the answer to your question is, can you put your own flavor to it? Of course you can. I mean, I'm running my own business. I'm just operating within, you know, a 30,000 foot framework of principles that they've seen work over time. And I can take, like, you know, again, my example of marketing, where I'm doing very, very targeted marketing. I'm not spending a lot of money on branding. I'm not sponsoring a lot of golf tournaments because those are expensive and it's not money where I can really, I have no way of measuring what the outcome of that is. Now, if I do a targeting marketing campaign to, let's say, accountants and bookkeepers who may want to sell their business or offload clients, I can measure that through my CRM system. It's a measurable marketing effort. So yeah, there's a lot of latitude that you get as an owner. And there's certainly a playground there that you can do some testing. What I always tell people is just make sure you can measure it. If you can't measure it, you're really not doing anything, right? You're just kind of playing around.
What are you doing that is different than other payroll franchises that you noticed? What's your flavor on there? Do you think of
You
anything?
mean like for like franchises? I think one of the things for me, I bought into the website, the domain program, and I'm doing marketing from my website. I'm doing email campaigns that involve my website and the tools on my website. I'm keeping everything kind of contained there so I can measure it. I know the because we've got, you know, analytics that I can track, you know, when people come to my website, what are they looking at? Are they looking at the ERTC? Are they looking at payroll checkups? Are they interested in timekeeping? You know, what is it that people who come to my website are interested in? And then I can take that data and then focus my marketing efforts where those impressions are being made on my website. So that's how I do it. I've only been doing this now, this particular program, for about 4 months, and I'm starting to see some results now. It takes a while, you know, to get your relevance up with Google and you know, get reviews and do all the things that improve your position in this thing we call the internet.
Yeah, that's not an easy place to navigate, like learning SEOs and I have all that. I have learned some of it. I have a long way to go, but yeah.
And it changes all the time. I mean, you know, it just seems like when you get the hang of it, it changes. Well, so you got to adapt, and you have to be adaptable.
And it's platforms. Like, and it's funny you say that, because for example, somebody asked me about the podcast. Can you send me a link? And I went into my platform, and it was a non-Google one. And I, you know, shoved in Beyond the Front Line, where I normally go, right? I just searched it like I normally do, and it didn't come up. And I was like, the heck? That's weird. Like, it wasn't there. And I went to the Google platform, did the same thing, popped right up.
Yeah.
So, like, people don't understand that every platform has its own SEO search, and like,
it does.
I'm learning all the time, and I'm like, oh. And it's so, and then there's a whole SEO for, I didn't even know this till I got into it, Alexa and Siri and all that. So if, when you're like, hey, show Alexa, show me this, or Siri, show me that over voice, that's a whole separate thing. I was like, it is? They're like, yep, that's the voice one. And so when you're going through them, that's separate. So it's always a learning curve. I mean, it's a constant straight up, I feel like.
The gentleman in our networking group talks about, you know, people have a field of dreams mentality when it comes to putting out a website or content on the internet. You know, if you build it, they will come. And that's not the case. You got to build it, and then you got to let them know you're there. And there's different ways of doing that. You got to be savvy with it, spend your money in the right way. And because again, that's another area you could just throw money at it and get nowhere if you don't have a plan.
Very, very true. I'm self-funded, and I'm very particular with what I'm putting my money out to. And I'm honest. I mean, when people ask, and I'm like, I don't get the cash. I'm telling you, I'm startup. Yeah. And you know what I find? Most people are like, got it. They understand. They appreciate my honesty. I don't try to sugarcoat it. I don't try to look like anything I'm not. I'm like, I'm startup. I'm poor. Money's going out. I'd like to see it come in.
Right.
And they're like, got it, you know?
Absolutely.
So yeah, there's benefit in being the new person when you just be straight up with them, you know, and just learn. So
sure.
All right, Clint, we're going to wind this down. In the words of Jay, we're going to land the plane here. And what is your best tip or best advice for anybody that is thinking about franchising?
Take your time. You have time. I mean, there's always a sense of urgency. I had it. You have it. And anybody listening to this will have a sense of urgency if they're an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. But take your time. Go through the evaluation process. Hire a recruiter. Do your own research as well. Figure out, you know, what it is that you like to do. Learn a little bit about yourself in the process. And make an informed decision. A lot of people get into business and it's just like, well, I like working on cars, so I'm going to be a mechanic. Well, maybe that's not the best opportunity for you. If you hire a recruiter like the gentleman you had on before, he's going to walk through a very set procedure, and he's going to do an analysis on you as an individual and then what your interests might be, and he'll present you, or she will present you, with the best opportunities. But take your time. There is time, and you'll make the right decision if you take it.
I think you summed it up perfectly. I don't think I can top anything on that. So I do appreciate you coming on, Clint. This was sage advice, and I learned a ton. And I said, it sounds silly. I'm totally intrigued by all of it, but yet I have no desire to jump in and franchise. But I really do think it's fascinating, because there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these franchises.
Yes, there are. There's a lot of opportunity out there for sure.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's great for veterans. It really is.
Yes, and actually, sentiment of Gary Turnow, he actually said that. He goes, veterans are very good at franchising because they can repeat a pattern. And that's what a lot of the franchising is. And they're very determined and driven and to succeed. And, you know,
100%.
we're all brought in to complete the mission at any cost, right? And our cost is pretty high in the military. And so here to complete the mission, it doesn't result in needing an air defense missile or ducking under your into your bunker.
Yeah, the consequences aren't as great, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's some painful lessons that will happen. There is no doubt.
Yeah.
But it really is not as much as the military. So I'm thinking, if you can handle the military for any length of time, this is cake-ish.
No doubt about it.
All right, everybody, we're going to wrap this up. I'm putting out a big, big well wishes to my buddy Jay. Clint, thank you very much.
Thank you.
If you guys are interested in learning more, we will have Clint's information in the summary. You can also reach out to us through Coming Home Well. They will get the information to us. Please listen, like, share. Talk it up to other people, because we are here for you. This whole podcast, top to bottom, the whole network is volunteer. We love doing it. We love sharing information. We bring all these people to you, all for you. So from Beyond the Front Line and Coming Home Well, thank you very much. And you guys have an awesome rest of the week.
Thanks for listening to Beyond the Front Line, a podcast of Coming Home Well. Join us every other Wednesday. And if you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. Follow us on Instagram at @ComingHomeWell_BTS or on Twitter at @ComingHomeWell. Thanks again. And until all are home and all are well.